Thank you, God, for your message today. Comfort our hearts. Let us understand this and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the message today is rejected, lonely, but right. Elijah the prophet, maybe you know the story, was used by God to stop the rain and to bring rain on Israel after 3.5 years of drought. 1 Kings 18 and 19. And then he destroyed the prophets of Baal. Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, promised to kill Elijah for killing her prophets. So he ran, after a great victory, he ran because this woman threatened to take his life. And he ended up in a cave. He's hiding, and God spoke to him. Now let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 14. He's hiding in a cave, and God speaks to him. Asked him what he's doing there. And in verse 14, he said, Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. God, I run because I'm the only one, I'm the only good guy left. I'm the only prophet, the one who will speak for you left. I'm the only one, God, that can carry on your work. I've been working hard for you, and now this is what I get. You have only me. You better protect me. Did you ever feel that way? Like the only one? Jeremiah the prophet spoke things that people didn't want to hear, things of destruction. People don't like to hear about judgment, do they? You know, he spoke things and people, even the people of Israel didn't like what he was saying. So he was struck and put in stocks for all to see. Now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Everybody sees this guy in stocks, this man of God. Jeremiah gets feeling sorry for himself. And then we read in verse 18. Jeremiah 9. Where are we now? Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. 20 verse 7. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm tired of this, being rejected and mocked just for you. And our day would be for standing as a Christian and talking about Jesus. I'm tired, Lord. I'm not talking about you anymore. It just causes waves. And then we read at the end of verse 9, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. He had to go on speaking, get into more trouble. Loneliness, rejected, but right. These people were right. And this is what happens. You see, when we stand for the Lord, I would say if there's no problems in your life for the Lord, better check out your walk or where you're, what you're doing with your life. Because when we live for the Lord, we cause waves. We cause problems. But it's not our fault. It's those who reject Him. We love them. You see, when we speak of judgment, of sin, of getting your life right, get out of that sin, people don't like that. Don't become mamby-pamby and accept it. We stand for the Lord. Family might cast you out. Friends will betray you. People will speak against you. You will be misunderstood. But you will be right. When you stand for the Lord, these things will come upon you and I. But we must stand firm. When we love God, we need to speak for Him and live for Him. We don't want to be a Christian just in name. We want to be Christ-like. We are the conviction for people. They should see Jesus in us. And it should separate us from the world. You know, in 1 John it says, if you love the world, the love of God is not in you. There is rejection. There is mocking. That comes our way. At times it seems, I am the only godly one around. Doesn't anyone else stand for the Lord or say anything? That's why we see a very liberal world today. We allow it. It was always this way. Always from the beginning of time. People don't like it. Cain didn't like Abel. From there on, there it is. When you're walking as a Christian sharing Jesus, we can at times feel lonely, separated from society, and even from other Christians at times. Because we're a little too strong or radical in our faith. Boy, if Jesus were walking today, he would be the super radical. He probably wouldn't be accepted in many churches. You vipers, brood of vipers, whitewashed sepulchers, you snakes, you misrepresent the Lord. Well, he could probably clean up a lot of churches today. Know this, you are not the last one. You are not the last one on this earth following Jesus. You are not the last one obeying Jesus, loving the Lord, standing for the Lord, speaking out. You are not the last one. Even though you might feel alone at times and separated, you are not the last one. You continue on. One day you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord, and He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you're going to see your rewards in heaven. You're going to say, wow. I don't think I deserve that. The Lord's going to say, you stood for me. You denied me. You proclaim me among men. Enter in. Those who deny Him by their behavior, by their words, they don't. Verse 1, He went out from there and came to His own country, and His disciples followed Him. He goes from the western shore of Galilee to Nazareth, where He was raised, back to this home area. And in verse 2, and when the Sabbath had come, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? He goes to the synagogue on Sabbath and began to teach. Now, what a message that must have been, huh? Can you imagine Jesus teaching us this morning? Wow. No peripherals. Stand up and talk. Words of God that pierce the heart. That's it. Awesome. When people gathered with Him then, they came to hear Jesus, not for anything else. They came to hear the Word of God. The people were astonished. Why? Number one, to hear this local boy teach. it began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Hey, he's a local guy. People used to say, could anything good come out of Nazareth? It was not a place that was considered a good area. It was on the wrong side of the tracks, the people in Nazareth. Let's turn to Matthew 7, verse 28. At another time when Jesus was speaking, so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished, again, at his saying, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was something different about his teaching. Power, authority. Wow. Why? Because it was the Word of God. There's power in it, authority in it. So they were astonished. The second thing they questioned, where he got this learning, this knowledge from. We see that many heard him, were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? Hey, what rabbinical school did he go to? That had to be a pretty good school. This guy is smart. He has wisdom. He's prepared. He knows truth. And he's a local boy. Where did he go? I didn't hear about him going off to Yale or Harvard or anywhere. Where did he get this wisdom, these smarts? We see that. And where did he get these things? And then what wisdom is this which is given to him? Who taught this guy? Wow. What wisdom he has. And then fourth, they said, he can do these mighty works. Heard of these miracles that he was doing. What power this guy has. And they were astonished at it. You know, it's sad how people will judge one on their past or by other things or by prejudices. Isn't that sad? That people will judge based on the past. Well, I knew you before. Who do you think you are teaching me? They'll judge on the past or where you're from or what you look like, and it's so sad. Again, it's always been that way. We see that in the Bible. You see, they say right here in verse 3, is he not the carpenter's son? Who does he think he is? This guy's a carpenter. What's he telling us about heaven and God for? He's a carpenter's son. That's the trade he was raised in. Hey, you do your own thing and don't get into religion, Jesus, please. And he's the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon. Are they not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Wow. This is Mary's boy. We know his brothers and his sisters. We played with this guy. Who does he think he is teaching us? They were offended at him. They didn't want one of their own to do better than them. That's how it is in some towns and cities. They don't want you to do any better. You know, it's okay if you have a little less than me. God forbid you should be equal with me, but I don't want you to be any better. Rather than be open to him being the Messiah, the Christ, the sent one, rather than taking in his teaching, listening to his wisdom, they were offended at him. They no doubt thought, he thinks he's better than us. Just like they do think of you as a Christian. Who do you think you are? Oh, that always amazed me. Like when we were first Christians and a little later on, you know, we would share with family members that weren't around here and saw it, what happened to us, or co-workers or friends, we would share. It would eventually come out, oh, you think you're better than us. Did you ever have anybody say that to you? Just because you're living for Christ? I never said I thought I was better than you. I'm saying I'm a lousy, vile, wretched sinner. I acknowledged it. Now I came to Christ to have it forgiven. Where do they get the idea, you think you're better than me? I don't know where they get that. They're the ones that think they're better than us. It's strange, isn't it? But that's the way they thought. He thinks he's better than us. He's just one of us. We're not going to listen to this guy. See, when we become a Christian, when we share Jesus, when we put God first in our decisions, at times, others get offended at us. Well, why don't you want to do that? What's wrong with that? Well, God doesn't want me to do it. I need to be in church. When we share Jesus, we put God first. Others become offended at that. Well, we're having this thing for all of us here today. No, I go to church this morning. Oh, I'm offended at that. You see, we have a new life when we become a Christian. We're born again. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You can't fake that. You can fake being a Christian, but you can't fake being born again. Because it'll show. By your decisions and by your talk, by your compassion, by your love, by your concern for others, it'll show. And see, Jesus was really putting these people on the spot. Because he's bringing in Christianity, following the Lord. There's not just a Sunday Christian. You're Christ-like, you follow the Lord, and people get offended at that. They misunderstand us, they judge us wrong. They even separate themselves from us. At times, and that's our message today, you feel rejected, lonely, but remember you're right. You know that saying, when you didn't get picked first, you say, last is the best. First is the worst, last is the best. Unless they don't say that anymore, I don't know. Am I outdating everybody here? But we used to say, as an excuse, well, first is the worst and last is the best. In our case, last is the best. We're walking into heaven. And everybody will know what we had was right, was the best. But we should love others so much that we're willing to take the rejection, the loneliness, the flack, the causing waves, the misunderstandings, just for the sake of seeing them in heaven. Maybe they'll reject us at first, but later on they'll think about it and receive him. Better that that happens than we don't say anything or share or cause waves. Better that we talk and live for the Lord and let them know why we do what we do and don't do what we don't do. But we do feel rejected. We do feel alone. Let's turn to Isaiah 53, please. And you're saying, I knew he was going to turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Speaking of Jesus. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, you're in good company if you're lonely, rejected, misunderstood, and mocked. So was Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to be on his team. That's the team I want to be on. That's the identification I want with my life, with Jesus. Oh, you're one of those Jesus people. Yeah, thank God it's evident. That's what we need to say. Thank God it's evident. People don't understand that Jesus changes lives. And he uses simple people to proclaim the good news. People like you and me. Well, maybe you're not all simple, but some of us are simple. But he uses base people. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, what the world calls wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And he's chosen the base things of the world, the ordinary people, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He chose base people so that we don't take the glory. We're not proud people. We're humble people. We don't lift up ourselves. God lifts us up. We don't speak of ourselves. We speak of God. That's a Christian. And God uses those kind of people so that he gets the glory of changing lives. But it still hurts, doesn't it? Living in this world, it still hurts. When the people close to you reject you, mock you, misunderstand you, separate themselves. Jesus went through all of that. He went through all of that. One that's speaking God's word is like verse 4 here, back to our text. Jesus said to them, a prophet, a man who speaks for God, or a woman who speaks for God, is not without honor among, not without honor, except, people accept them, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Family members, relatives, people in your own house. Many of you know that, being unequally yoked in a house, it's very difficult. In your own country, it's difficult. Seeing true born-again Christians is very hard to find. He says, that's the way it's going to be, though. And they don't accept you. You're without honor in those places. It's been said, there's no place harder to serve the Lord than at home or among those who know you. There's no harder place. No place harder. You see, people will receive others easier than they will receive you. It makes it very difficult at times. Just like they didn't understand Jesus here. Because we knew him. You see? They can't believe that you can change or you have some good news for them. But just remember, you are right. And you stand for the Lord. God will take care of you. You have the truth. Continue on with him and share him. But maybe at times you have to do it among other people. And you just live it out in the situation you're in. And go on and share with other people. And we're going to get into that. But you know who loses out? Those opposed to you. They lose out. They could be blessed just by receiving truth from you. And you have truth and you have the Lord. And they could have that too. And they lose out because they reject you. That's what they did in Nazareth here, verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. They missed out. He was doing these tremendous works, these healings, casting evil spirits out, and he couldn't work in his hometown. Why? Unbelief. Judging him another way. He could only heal a few sick people because of unbelief. Verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. They didn't believe in Jesus as the Christ or his words of truth. They heard, but they didn't believe. How sad. Hebrews 11:6, it tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he will bless you. You must believe it, though, that he is who he is, and you must have faith in him. Faith is required. We've seen that in the book of Mark here. They didn't believe in verse 6. And he marveled. Why didn't they believe? Because they judged him on what they knew of him before. Just an ordinary boy and then young man. That's all they judged him as being. God can use you powerfully if you surrender all to the Lord and start speaking. So he can use you as his instrument, your voice, to share what he... You know, did you ever see a ventriloquist? We're the dummy. That's the way it is with a Christian. We're the dummy. And he speaks through us. And they think we're speaking. And some will judge us as speaking. We know who's speaking. It's the Lord. That's what he wants us to be. We need to open our mouth. He uses our voice to speak for the Lord. They didn't believe because they judged him as an ordinary young man. They couldn't accept that he was the Messiah. They didn't accept his power. So what did he do? He went out about the villages in a circuit teaching. So he went on to another place. Now, up to this point, Jesus has been the one doing the work, the teaching, the preaching. Up till now, it's Jesus. The apostles have been students, pupils. There's been disciples. But now it's time to raise up others who will suffer rejection and loneliness and all these other things to go out and share his word. There came that time. They're now well taught. They were prepared. Verse 12, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. They were prepared by his teaching, encouraged by his working, proving who he was, and then he empowered them as he does us today. And he gives us different gifts. And we need to use our gifts for the Lord. We use them or lose them. Many people lose it because they don't use it. God will say, okay, I'll use somebody else. We all have gifts. The Bible says each one of us does. We can't say, no, I don't. We do. It's just a lot of people don't want to use them. Well, I don't know that I can. There's excuses, excuses, excuses. Use them. God will use you. That's why he gives you gifts. It says for the profit of all. That's your part, my part in the church, to bless each other by using our gifts. We don't want to just get a free ride in life here. We have a responsibility to much is given, much is required. And I'd say in this country, we've been given much. We're blessed. Anybody would trade places with us. We're blessed. We need to use what God has given us. No freeloaders. Be involved in some way. You see, he empowered them. He says, okay, guys, enough. You're going out. The preparation, then the application is the way it works. What was their preparation? Let's turn to Acts 4, verse 13. Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. What was their preparation? Hey, they were hanging around with Jesus. Just be in the Lord. Worship, fellowship, study, prayer. They said, these guys are uneducated. They're fishermen. What do they know? But they weren't educated according to the world. There's no excuses because Jesus educates. They realize, wow, they've been with Jesus. Whatever you go through in life, you can use for the Lord. Sickness, health, blessings, poverty, whatever it is, you can use it for the Lord to share. When we were sharing a couple weeks ago about he cast out the demons, all those demons into the swine out of that person. Then he said, I want you to go to your home now and start sharing the gospel. And that place changed. See, we can share our testimony wherever we are and affect people. their education, their preparation was just being with the Lord. We've been here with the Lord a long time, just in this church, you know. He sends them out two by two. Now, remember, they were called, and then they were sent. And they were given what they needed. These men were going to do his work. And they were sent out by twos. Isn't that interesting in verse 7? He called the 12 to himself and began to send them out by two. If you read about the apostles he chose in Matthew 10, verse 2, it lists 12. And they're listed in pairs. Is that the way they went out? Could be. But it's interesting. They're listed in so-and-so and so-and-so. Then so-and-so and so-and-so. And this was probably why, well, I'm sure it was wise Jesus did it. How can I say probably? It was wise because, you know, there's confirmation of what you did or what you're doing or what you said. There's confirmation, there's protection, there's a lot of things that work that way by twos. And so what's their preparation to go out into the world? You know, make sure you have a lot of money, reservations ahead of time, a good place to stay. Well, we'll see, verse 8. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. I don't even see a toothbrush here. Nothing except a staff, no bag, no bread. What are we going to eat, Lord? Are you serious? No copper in their money belts, no money. They're going to pick me up as a vagrant. He says, no, but wear sandals and don't put on two tunics. Wow, one set of clothes. It means I got to wash every day or every other day. Wow, what a way to travel. Well, they're traveling light is the idea. You know, of course, this was different times than we are in today. They didn't have much anyway, and they're used to living this way, but this is what he's saying is travel light. And he's telling them another thing. I'm going to provide for you. Where God guides, he provides. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. Trust me. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I will add unto you all these other things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, all this other stuff. It takes faith, doesn't it? Yes. Have you ever stepped out in faith, trusted the Lord? Or did you always know ahead of time what was going to happen? Try it. You'll like it. Travel light. Not to draw attention to themselves or the life of luxury. There was an urgency here while he's alive to get the gospel out. Trust God. Let him lead you to where he wants you to stay. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And if you go to a place and they let you come in, stay there. You know, if they say, stay with us, stay there. But in verse 11, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. He said, so you go to a house, they receive you, stay there until you leave. Don't be looking around for a better place all the time. You know, hey, they asked me to stay here, but tomorrow I go to this place. Whoa, this is a nice place. I got my own room and my own bathroom over here. I think I'm going to move over here. Don't. He says, stay where you are. These people are nice. He says, that's the place I brought you. Stay there. Did you ever make a commitment to somebody, I'm going to do this or do that or stay there, but then someone calls you in the meantime and gives you a better offer? And so what do you do? Do you call the other person and say, well, I can't make it? Or I can't stay there? All the smiles, these guilty smiles now in the room here, you know, because they got something better to do. Be a man or a woman of commitment, of your word. That's what we're to be as Christians. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is of the devil. I've had to forfeit even money and stuff because I made a commitment to something else. My wife's nodding her head, yes, and she doesn't like that. But no, she does. But you know, when you make a commitment, when something better comes up, don't bail out. And so he's telling them, do it. Do it. Stay where I put you. Don't look around for a better place. I'll feed you. I'll take care of you. Accept hospitality when you're offered it. Don't seek recognition or preference because of what you're doing for me. He was sent to Israel, not to the Gentiles at first, so there was this urgency in this message to get out. Verse 11, you notice where it says it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city? It tells us there's degrees of judgment. I mean, there's hell, but there's, just like in heaven, there's rewards. My gosh, to think of this, in hell, there's degrees of punishment. He says it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment than for that city. What a horrible place. And you know what they were judged for? Horrible things. But he says, what's worse than that is denying the gospel. People that I'm sending to you, that's worse. That's the worst thing a person can do, is reject the word of God. Turn, you know, mock it. And then verse 12, so they did. They went out and preached the gospel. What was the gospel? They preached that people should repent. Remember in Mark, that was the first words of Jesus? Let's turn back there to Mark 1, verse 10, 15. A lot of people miss out when they're sharing the gospel about that word repentance. You don't hear that a lot of times when people are preaching the gospel. Hey, don't come forth till you repent. Because it's not going to do you any good. Till you turn from your sin in your heart. Because right here in verse 15 it says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent is always the first word. You can't make these emotional instant decisions about the gospel. Because the first word is repentance. You do have to think about it. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to wash away my sin. I'm sorry I've offended you, Lord. I turn from that to you. Repentance. I think a lot of people that are shallow in their faith or don't really live it, or it looks like they love the world more, yet they profess to be a Christian. I think the problem is they truly didn't repent first. They really were not in that position to be born again because they just made an emotional decision rather than, I'm a sinner. I accept that. And I need my sin washed away. God, forgive me. I turn to you and I forsake that. Then I'm in the position to believe. It's repent and believe. Now, those are words of Jesus, so you don't have to take it up with me. You have to take it up with the Lord, because it's right here in verse 15. It's repent and believe. And I know you all believe that. So, two lessons here in the last two verses, 11 and 12. 11 and 12. They shake the dust off their feet if the people don't receive it. We must keep going on in our life to share the gospel with others or the message wherever God would want us to present it. We can get so caught up with one place and it bogs us down in our walk with the Lord. You know, we don't move on in our faith. And it can be in your house, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. And maybe the doors are all closed there. Well, they can't stop you from praying for them and living it out. But you can't speak. So rather than be quiet, seek other places to share. He's saying, don't get stagnant in your walk. Go serve in the church. Bless the people at church. Do something in your community. Go share in another area. But he tells them, move on. Don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart. Maybe you're done with them. Keep them in your prayers. But move on. Share with other people. Be a witness at the store or wherever. Get involved in serving in some way, you see? And so that's what he told them to do. And then the other thing, they went out and preached that people should repent, so they need to repent. They need to hear the words. People need to hear the horror of judgment. Because it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city. I think people need to hear more about the results of their sin. And sometimes I wonder, the way people act and live, do they really understand hell? Wow, I know I didn't want to spend eternity in hell when I heard the gospel. I knew when I would die, I'd go somewhere. I sure didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. But I can't get there unless my sin is removed. So you see the urgency we have in that. So we all experience rejection, misunderstanding, loneliness for Jesus' sake. But remember this, we're right. And then verse 13, the last verse, they cast out many demons, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. God gave them the power to carry on the work of Christ. And he gives us that power today to go out and share the gospel. You will be rejected. You will be denied. You will experience loneliness. It is difficult living in those situations. But remember, you're right, and God loves you for living for him. Just do it for the Lord and be blessed. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your many blessings in our life. We pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts up today to serve the Lord, to befriend others, to be compassionate, loving, sensitive, open to your voice. We pray, Lord, that we don't just get stagnant or dull or hard of hearing or worldly or carnal. God, we want more of you and less of us in our life. Help me to be that man you want me to be. Open doors of opportunity. And I pray that for all these people here today, Lord. Speak to each one how important they are in the kingdom of God. You have chosen weak human vessels to proclaim the greatest news ever given to mankind. Don't let us hide it. Give us gifts, Lord, to use what you've given us, to be able to touch other people. Lord, we're open to whatever you would have us do as a people, as a church. If you want to give us this community, Lord, thank you. Remove Satan's attack on people here. Set the captives free. Excite us about being the instruments that you will use to touch people here. And let it start where we are, Lord. Thank you so much for your encouragement today. I pray these words are written on our heart, and we thank you for the work you're doing in our church with the building and everything, and continue to have your will done here, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.